alcoholic. And this is the last session. There's a part of me that's overwhelmingly glad. And then there's a part of me that's somewhat sad because I know that time is drawing near. Now, I'll tell you, I think we've had some real good sessions. You know, in my head it says, now how can you top this afternoon? You know, we started out with my story last night, and then we came back and we had the healing process. Then we had sex and sobriety. And, I wanted to end this on a real positive note. And so I kicked it around all day in my head, and I decided that we'd call this particular session Successful Recovery. And I think when I talk successful recovery, I'm talking about people who have come through crises, who have enjoyed sobriety, who have not drank, who have not used, who have had to make major decisions in their lives, who followed through. That's successful recovery. Being patient, being vulnerable at different times in your life, in sobriety, and being able to say no, no matter what goes down. No, I'm not drinking or using. Because that's the bottom line to Alcoholics Anonymous and any other program that you come into, is that we don't drink and we don't use. That's the bottom line. Now, I would like to tell you that I don't know how can I say this? Throughout the years of me being sober, I've really only had one terrible crisis where I thought I was going to get loaded, and that was this year. But throughout the other 13 years that I've had, they've been quite pleasurable. I've had to deal with some negatives from the family, because see, the families don't always come around in the beginning. And it took my family 10 years to come around, you know, to start believing me. When I turned 10 years sober on this program, a sister of mine flew out from Paterson, New Jersey to give me a cake. Okay? And she didn't believe, you know, I mean, like, they always believed in me, but they would say things. If I was 5 years sober on this program, I had a brother who said, you mean to tell me you don't steal no more? You know? That was a big deal to him, that I didn't steal no more, you know? See, successful recovery to me is based on a lot of not only integrity, but standards and values that we build up in our own sobriety and in sobriety, and we stick to them. We follow through. We do things that make us feel good. I know I had a lady who was asking me what was the difference between self-esteem and self-worth. You know, and I believe self-esteem is self-gratification, and self-worth is self-dignity, you know. And for me, I found that I feel better about myself, knowing that no matter what has went down in my life and all of my crises, you know, when my mom, my sister, my brother, my sponsor, when they all died and they all went away, it was like I felt so good knowing that I didn't have to drink or use, and I didn't have an outlet. See, because when my mom died, my sister just died today, was in jail. And I remember some relatives of mine kissing my sister and spitting into her mouth a tranquilizer. And she was in jail. And they were saying to me, you know, you ought to take something. And I was saying, I don't need to take anything. You guys get loaded. And then I got real pissed off because I found out that they had just gave this girl some tranquilizers by kissing her, because she had to be escorted to the funeral, you know, with the police and the sheriff. And we asked them to dress in the street clothes so that they wouldn't be so obvious. But everybody in my hometown, which is little, you know, knew that she was in jail. And I remember my family saying, you ought to take something. And I was saying, no, I don't need to take anything. You guys get loaded. I need to feel my pain on out. I remember they saying, you know, you're crazy. You're absolutely crazy. And they today they look back at me and they say things like, I don't even believe you've been sober all these years. You know, it's just hard. And they know I have, you know. And I'm not the fuck up that I used to be, you know. Like, people used to have control over my life. Sit down, JoJo. Get up, JoJo. Take a bath, JoJo. Put this on. Comb your hair. It was always what I always did, what they told me to do. And somewhere in my sobriety, I don't know when it happened, I began to make my own decisions for me. And I did what I knew when I needed to go take a bath. You know what I'm saying? Because I had regained that control back. I've been able to be my own person in sobriety. Recovery is a slow process for me. I had to make a lot of meetings. I had to talk to a lot of people. I had to make a lot of telephone calls. And I still do that. I have telephonitis. I am one of those people that talk on the telephone all the time, and it don't care if it's long distance or not. I call at 3 o'clock in the daytime, long distance. If it hit me, I'm on the phone, you know? And then when my phone bill come out, I get pissed off. And that's been a big fight with my husband and I, because he count up month by month, 12 months. You know, he said, God damn, if you have a telephone bill that's $100 a month for 12 months, that's $1,200, you know? I don't even care. I don't even look at that shit. I said, if I was drinking, if I was smoking, if I was drinking coffee, it'd be more than $100 a month, you know? And so I don't care. I work and I always say, I work a job. I can pay my own telephone bills, you know? Sound familiar?
Yeah.
I just call anybody I want to call. I don't care, you know. And I'm one of those people that sometimes every once in a while I open up my telephone book and I just go down the line. I just until I'm called out, you know. And People in Alcoholics Anonymous, any other program that I may be involved with, will come to me and they will say, JoJo, you know, you really changed. You're a success in Alcoholics Anonymous and you're looking good. And, you know, and I contribute all of that to the process of recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous. The ability to be able to pay my bills, get up and go to work, be responsible for me has been a result of my recovering in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. Being able to share my experience, strength, and hope. I always say that I'm honest enough to live and crooked enough to survive in this program. And I have to tell you, because I'm not on the up and up with every single thing in my life. I am not a saint. I'm a human being with a lot of flaws, and I'm sometimes very judgmental of other people and their sobriety and what they're doing and how they're working the steps. I know you don't think I'm really like that. But I am. And they're not doing a very good job, and I don't want what they got. You know, and I don't care if they got 2 days or 20 years. You know, and I can be like that. I forget that they're human beings. I forget that the reason that they're sober is because they're alcoholics. I forget the reason that's why they're here, not because of any other particular reason. You see, I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and somehow, somewhere, I was told that this was Ladies and Gentlemen Anonymous. like we were not supposed to curse. We were not supposed to, if you were a woman, you were not supposed to sit like this, with your legs wide open. You were not supposed to be real flamboyant and crazy, and I was flamboyant and crazy. And even when I was 10 years old, well, you know, people, and today, I'm 30, and people still come to me and say, you would be such a nice young lady if you didn't cuss so much. You know what my reaction is? Fuck you. See, because I don't think cursing has anything to do with anybody staying sober. Okay? And I think the longer that we stay sober on this program, because I tell you, I have come into some values and standards in my own life that I like. I know when I want to cuss and when I don't want to cuss. I know when, you know, I can go to church and won't cuss. I don't have a problem with that. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, when I was 10 years sober, I said, you know, JoJo, you're going to stop cursing. You're going to have to stop cursing because you're not sounding like a lady anymore. And I didn't realize that I would want it to be a lady that bad, you know. Because the cursing in my family is hereditary. Every one of us curse. Every one of us do. And I think what I'm trying to share with you that, see, none of that shit, okay, is it really important as far as your recovery is concerned? You know, I know that Central Office of Alcoholics Anonymous put out these little pamphlets that says, you know, if you curse a lot, your vocabulary is real limited. Well, they're absolutely correct with me, you know. I'm very comfortable. And sometimes, I think, and I have to be honest with you, I think sometimes I do it for shock effect. Okay? Just to let you know that I can get down, you know, and then afterwards I think, now why did I do that? Well, it wasn't even necessary, you know. So I've done a lot of evaluation on myself, and I know that I've accepted that a part of me will always curse. You know, unless God strike me a nun or something. I don't think you're going to do that. You know, I'm always looking for a better way out. I'm always looking for something that is going to make me feel better about myself. And I am willing. I am willing to make some changes in my life today. And when you hit a hard bottom like I did in sobriety, you want to make some changes. You want to become sweetly reasonable so that you can be the best you can be. And basically, that's what I want to do. I want the best recovery that a woman can have on this program without being Miss Pritzy Pritzy. Now, I'm not against Miss Pritzy Pritzy, but it ain't me. That's not me. I love to dress well, and I like to look good and all that stuff. You know, but there's still that tramp act there. You know? I still have it in me. And I don't know if that's ever going to go anywhere or not. I've done some exercises since I've been sober. Writing in the journals and doing something that would enhance my successful recovery. You know, there's a lot of people that's ashamed. I don't know if it's ashamed or what, but if they have good sobriety, they don't want to say that they have good sobriety because they're scared that they're going to lose it. You know, and there's a lot of people who will never use the word never. I will never drink again. You know, they're scared to use that word. They use it in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. They said, and he never drink again. You know. But being the type of people we are, we had to break this book down and do it a day at a time, you know. And I tell you that all that 13 years, I used to always say, never. I never want to drink again until the 13th year, until it happened. And I got to tell you, now I'm at a place where I honestly believe that I can use the word never, but it's got to be in here. It's got to be in my heart. It can't be in my head anymore. You know, in order for me to stay recovered. My sobriety takes me on journeys, takes me through people's lives. I do a lot of traveling, and I get to meet a lot of people. We touch a lot of souls. I leave my life, a part of me, wherever I go, and I think people, I mean, they give me back something that I can always take home and reflect back on when physically you're not there with me anymore. And there's a part of me that's totally, totally grateful for that. I know my husband, well, he say he's not anymore, but I know there's a part of him that's jealous that I get these kind of opportunities. Now, he's getting them too. You know, but I never had to promote myself. I never had to do any of that. It was all just taken care of for me. I know I've been asked since I've been here at this retreat, how did I get to do stuff like this? And I have to be totally honest with you. I didn't do a thing but stay sober and share my experience, strength, and hope and show up at meetings. That's all I did. And I shared from my guts. I shared honestly what was going on with me. And I've done that since I've been clean and sober. If I was getting beat up in sobriety, I shared I got beat up in sobriety because I got beat up in sobriety. Okay, when I was 6 months clean and sober on this program with my husband, we had been married for 6 months, this man really jumped on me and beat me real bad. I had my face was all swollen out and everything. And I went to meetings like that. Because I didn't know where else to go. I mean, what else was I going to do? You know, when you're in that kind of physical pain, you go to a meeting. And I was sharing from the podium what my husband had done to me. And I had some men that came up to me and said, how could you share that about your husband? You're married to him. I said, he did this to me. I'm here to save my ass, not to save his face, not to make him look good. I don't care about him looking good. He better save his own ass if he have any type of sobriety. I'm here for me. And that goes right back to this is Save Your Own Ass program. See? And he said that I made him look bad and that I made him look like he was the bad guy. And as I look back, I think about it, he was the fucking bad guy. Okay? But you see, I had a desire and an earnestness that I knew I needed to come through this, and I needed to come through it with the support of you women. It wasn't going to make it any other way. And I had this wonderful, wonderful lady. She's still my best friend. She's a great woman. And I called her, and she didn't know that much about me, but she was heavily into newcomers, helping them, supporting them. And I called her that morning because I told her, you know, I was scared to death that I was going to drink that day. And I wanted her to come and help me. And I told her, I said, well, I'm physically beat up and I can't go anywhere. I look real bad. She said, it's okay. I'm coming anyway. She was there within 30 minutes. She spent a whole day with me, okay? And she held my hand and she loved me and she supported me and she's just a sweet little old lady is what she was, you know. And that's the kind of love and support I've gotten. See, and that's the kind of thing that makes recovery successful. When we can accept people and support them and not say, well, let's go kill him and go through all them changes, but just to be there, you know, for each other. my sobriety, being able to become... See, I had some dreams, aspirations, and hopes when I was out there drinking and using. And there were several things I always wanted to do when I was out there drinking and using. I always wanted to know what it would be like to be a lady, a wife, and a mom. And I got those opportunities right here in Alcoholics Anonymous to do that. Have a little boy that loves me to death. He don't know any other mommy but me, you know. I know what it's like to be a wife. I like it. I really do. But you know the thing that I like the most? Is every once in a while I get to grace ladyhood. And I like the feeling that I get, being able to walk in my own personal brand of dignity. And knowing that this is me. This ain't nobody else, this is JoJo. JoJo put on a dress and stockings and heels and makeup and, you know, and I think, wow, baby, you look good, you know? And I stroke myself. I certainly do. I don't know about you ladies, but I can get off on me, you know, and I don't mean sexually. I mean, I enjoy JoJo today. I can spend time alone with myself. I can take me shopping. I can take me to the best restaurants by myself. Spend $50. And ain't nobody ate but me, you know? Maybe I'll order some lobster shit, something costs $33. But I do that for me. I do me like that. I love to treat me like that. There, you know, I remember last year for Christmas. Now, I've been sober. Well, at that point, I was 12 years sober. And I had never paid over $200 for a dress. And I wanted this one particular dress. And this dress was expensive. And I bought it. I bought it for me. It was the first time I ever spent that much money on me for one particular item. $500. I loved it. It was $489 with tax. It was $450. It was $454 something, and it came out to $489. Love that dress. Okay? I had never in all of the years spent that kind of money on me for one piece of clothing, you know. And I know I was nuts. I know I was crazy. But I wanted it. And I said, what would it feel like? And I got to tell you, when I put that dress on last Christmas, and I had on my little shoes, and I went out, my hair was done, and my makeup was on, and my nails they were shocking. It was like I was probably the most prettiest person you had seen that night. You know, I mean, I knew I was looking good, you know. And I kept sitting there, I was looking at all the pretty people, you know, because we were at a non-AA function. And so I kept looking at all these women in there, minks and stuff, and I had mine on too, you know. I said, wow, baby. And what dawned on me is, what is a woman like me doing setting up in here with all these Miss Prissy Prissy? And I said, because tonight I'm Miss Prissy Prissy. And you know, it's not my sobriety is not based on material things, but I like them. I like them. And I want them, you know, and I like the feeling that I felt that night. I gotta be honest with you. I counted myself up that night money-wise. Have you ever did that? From the earrings to the shoes. That particular night I was worth over $10,000. Can you believe that shit? That particular night, I told my husband, I said, you know how much I'm worth tonight? He said, no. I said, I am worth over $10,000 tonight. I said, God damn. I just couldn't believe it. You know, and I, you know what? I've not had a night like that since. It's been it's been wonderful, though. It really has. That's successful recovery for me. Not just the material thing, but the ability to be able to be a part of something like that, to be aware of something like that, to carry myself in such a fashion that people want me to come back to their homes or come back and visit them. Or people want to come and visit me in L.A. and they want to come and see me and they call me up and they tell me, I miss you, I love you, I've been thinking about you. Me, the little old girl that used to sit on the couch and pee all over herself. The little old girl that people would say, for God's sake, honey, don't ever come back to my house. You know? The little girl that got caught in bed with everybody else's old man. Me. I could not believe that. You know. Recovery is fantastic. It's a phenomenon, is what it is. I'm really grateful. I don't know any other words that I can come up with to tell you how grateful I am to be clean and sober. I wish you could feel, and I know you do, but I wish you could feel the kind of love and the kind of joy that I have in my heart right now. And it's excruciating right here in this room. And it's, see, the kind of love that I feel, that I know, is a reflection of what you feel. You know? See, the miracle is that every one of us tonight is a success. That's the miracle. I'm not just the only successful person here tonight. Each and every one of you are. Because you haven't drank, you haven't used, and you're a part of. And it's not so much that you haven't drank and you haven't used, but we unified here this weekend. You know, we became one. All individuals, but we unified this weekend. And to me, that's recovery. Whether you're an Al-Anon, OA, SA, whatever. It don't matter. You know. Because we became something that we shall never, ever forget. You know, and that's recovery for me. Retreats, going on retreats, being a part of retreats, of any type of program, any support group, to me is a success. You know. Anyway, my time is up, and I'm going to open up the floor. As I did in the previous sessions, I want to say thank you again for allowing me to be a part of this great movement. And we'll open up the floor for questions. Thank you. All right. Is there any questions? The question is, how did I work the steps from the beginning of my sobriety to now? I guess that's what you're talking about, right? The steps. Well, I didn't have a problem admitting that I was an alcoholic. I knew I was an alcoholic when I first got here. I knew my life was unmanageable. Nothing I touched, I mean, everything I touched turned to shit. You know what I mean? Just to have, I know I was crazy. It was no, I didn't have a problem with step two. I knew I was crazy. I was so crazy that thoughts would run through my head and I couldn't remember what I had just thought. Have you ever did that? And I'd put my hands up on my head and I'd shake my head like this. And I'd think, JoJo, you're losing it. And in sobriety, I would go somewhere, I would be somewhere, I could be in a room, and I could go in the bathroom, and I couldn't remember what I went in there for. I had just thought, about something I needed or wanted and I couldn't figure out what it was. And it would go away for long periods of time. And it would be 2 or 3 days later and I'd think, oh, yeah. I didn't have a I was doing insane things in sobriety. I knew I was crazy. I didn't have a problem with that. Turning my will over to the care of God. Well, I am one of those people who believe that if you take step one, you've automatically taken the first three steps. I honestly believe that. That if you honestly admit that you're a real alcoholic, you can drink and your life is unmanageable, you're already asking for help for the third step. You know? And my fourth step. I was 29 days sober when I done my first inventory. I would not have been able to stay sober if I had not have done that first inventory. 29 days sober. And it wasn't one of those books. I did 12 pages. The best I could do. And they was those little note pages. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a writer. I'm not good with words. I had a baby of mine about 5 years ago, wrote 367 pages. I heard, who the fuck you think you're going to read that to? It won't be me. Baby. Mm-mm. We're supposed to tell in a general way, briefly. But my fourth step was heavy duty. Because I had never revealed any of that kind of stuff to anybody. And see, my fear is, or was, what you were going to think about me. I'm also one of those people who believe that you haven't completed your fourth step till you do the fifth and the sixth. My fifth step, the woman I gave the inventory to got loaded. Said, oh, shit. She couldn't handle my inventory. You know? Then I got real scared she's going to tell somebody. You know, she done got loaded, now she's going to tell somebody, you know. Sixth step is into action. You know, if you've done the fourth and the fifth, then you got to carry it through. And that to me is dealing with the defects of character, asking God to humbly remove our shortcomings. And you know, when I first got sober, I didn't know the difference between shortcomings, you know, and character defects. And it took me a long time to distinguish between the two. And sometimes I get confused today and I don't know if I really know the difference between the two, you know, the way that they're used. But I have characterized it like this. It's like one of my shortcomings. Is cursing. Okay? You know, it's not a character defect. It's a shortcoming. So I asked God to help me remove my help me deal with my shortcomings. Now, my character defect is a little bit different. You know, because see, some character defects I don't want to get rid of because I like them. You know, I like them. I like the way they make me feel. I'm not ready to get rid of them, or whatever. I was trying to think of a prime example. without being... That's a big word I wanted to use, so I won't use it. That's a big word. Ostentatious. Ain't that big? For me? God damn. Well, I don't even know where it comes from. I've been around too many of y'all. Y'all teaching me some real language here. You know what? I can't even come up with a... Now, I have flaws. I definitely have character defects. I just can't think of any right now. That's a character defect. I've had to live with some guilt I can never make amends for them, and that's the eighth and ninth step. Never be able to make some amends. The only way that I can make amends is to stay clean and sober. There, I can give you a prime example. I just hope my sister never get a hold of this tape. I have gone to bed with some of my sister's husbands, and I didn't do it willingly, except one I did. And I can never go to them and tell them, this is what I've done. I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to hurt you. I can never, ever, ever do that. I love them too much. They do not know. And if they suspect, she has never said anything to me about it. The only way that I can make amends to that woman is to stay clean and sober and let her see me clean and sober for the rest of my life, a day at a time. Sometimes the guilt is overbearing. Sometimes I look at her and I think I love her so much that I wouldn't ever want her to find out that this is what happened. So sometimes when I'm there and he's there, I have to act as if nothing ever happened. Hi, how you doing? And as you can see, I still have pain in that area for me. It's not easy sometimes to live with the guilt of your past. But some pain you have to live with because you can't correct. Because my program tells me I don't have a right to hurt her because of my own actions. I love my sister. She's a sweet, wonderful, wonderful person. That's the sister that flew out here and gave me my cake when I was 10 years sober. And I just, she's gone through so much in her own personal life that I would not want to add on something like this to her. Even though they're not together anymore. They're not together anymore, but I still have a responsibility there. Yeah. That to me is working the steps. My 10th step is continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Now, I'm one of those people that if I do you wrong, if I hurt you in any kind of way, usually I know it and I can immediately come to you. I will not carry the shit over. I can't, you know. I've had people come and tell me, you know, I think you're a bitch. You get on my nerves or whatever. And I understand that, you know, and I tell them, I understand how you feel because, see, I know what I'm capable of being. See, you only have to put up with me for an hour and a half in a meeting. I put up with me the other 22 and a half hours. And I know what I'm like. So sometimes I have to apologize for just being me, you know. Sorry I'm me, you know, and I'm sorry that you allowed me the power to come in and interrupt your sobriety or your serenity. And if there's anything that I can do, if, you know, to make it better, don't hesitate to tell me. I'm willing to apologize. I'm willing. I'm not a type of person that will put out a welcome mat, because I'm not like that anymore. I won't allow you to walk over me. And I won't allow you to use my defects of character against me. I won't allow you to push my button just to see me react. And there are a couple of people who knows how to push my button. Yeah. The 11th step. I'm always working on my spiritualness. I say that, and then again, there's a part of me that says, no, you're not. You know what I'm saying? No, you're not. Because then again, I go right back to not getting on my knees, not praying on a daily basis, not going to church, not in putting those values in my son's life. And yet I know on the flip side of the coin that I would not be where I'm at if I didn't believe in a power greater than myself. Because I can't stay sober on my own. Something is working for me in these rooms. You know. And they keep me sober when I don't want to be sober. They make me walk a chalk line when I want to run. Yeah. And I know it's God today. And I'm not really, I'm not really a God person. But I am right on the other side of the coin. I can't even explain the relationship that I have with my God. Except that I know it's precious. Now that I do know, because I know. See, when I lay down in bed at night, and it's just like a source of power or some energy that just flows through my body. And I feel real good about me. You know. I can just close my eyes and ease right on off to sleep. Then I know that I'm living and I'm working a program through you people from God. That's how I feel about that one. The 12th step is I'm doing exactly what I'm doing right now. You know? And that's something I'm grateful for. My mission in life was to carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. My gift in life was the ability to talk. Okay? And my pride in life is being an alcoholic, being a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm one of those people that if you talk to me within 5 minutes, you know I'm a recovered alcoholic and I don't drink. And see, I used the same character, same personality that I used when I was out there drinking and using, because I was one of those people that if I met you, and within 5 minutes I wanted to know, do you get high? Do you drink? And I didn't care what your name was. Do you get high? And I've used the same personality in Alcoholics Anonymous. I let people know that I don't drink and I don't use. I don't care who they are. You know? I don't care where I'm at. I break my anonymity at the drop of a wink. Because I don't care. Because I'm one of those people that if I got drunk, you wouldn't know I was drunk. It's obvious. So why shouldn't you know that I'm sober? I'm not a professional person. I don't have to worry about nobody's job. Fuck them. My attitude. You know? And I'm one of those people, if I go to a meeting and they say, anybody want to share my hand, usually it's the first person's hand that go up. Because when I was out there drinking and using, anybody said, do you want to get high? My hand was the first hand up. Yeah, I want to get high, but who are you? Don't matter, I want to get high. I don't deal with personalities. I try not to. I won't say I want. I try not to deal with personalities and Alcoholics Anonymous about, but every time I go, she got her hands up. You know? Every time I go, she's always talking. I don't deal with that. You know, I am one of those people that I try not to talk in every meeting I go to. And I try, if I'm going back to a certain meeting on a regular basis, I would tell them, don't call on me. I'm here tonight for a meeting. Now, I don't need to hear me tonight. I need to listen to you guys, you know. And I'm able to say stuff like that, you know. And, see, because I need, if all I do is give away and I don't get anything back, I don't have anything to give, you know. And in order for me to keep what I got to give it away, but I also got to be receptive enough to receive. And it doesn't matter, because I get my messages. I don't get messages from people who are 13 years sober. I get messages from people who are newcomers, a year and 2 years sober. They got the best goddamn. And a person that got 3 years of sobriety, watch them. They're walking the water. They good. Okay, 3 years of sobriety, they got the greatest sobriety in the world. Watch them. Listen to them. I love them.
I sat down and I'm amazed at people who got 3 years of sobriety. I said, God damn, how come I couldn't have been like that when I was 3 years sober, you know? And I enjoy it because they're so much wiser than what I was when I got here. I wasn't wise. I just didn't know what else to do. And, you know, I hear people say, but you're so wise, you're full of wisdom. Bullshit. Bullshit. I don't have any goddamn wisdom. You know, all I've done is I simply not drank, and I simply not used, and I followed the 12 steps. I incorporated them in my life, and what I've done was made some reasonably sane decisions. And people think that's wise. You know what I'm saying? That's all I've done. Successful recovery. And that's what it's been like for me. That's my summation of how I worked the 12 steps. We still have some more time. Yes. The things have I done that has held me together and brought me through? I did the same things I did when I first got sober in Program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have another sponsor. Everybody probably know her. Her name is Angie Deal. And that's my sweetheart. I don't love her as much as I love Nancy, though. Hope she don't get a hold of this tape. But I went to Blythe. I did an inventory. I made a lot. So because I also slacked off on my meetings this year. You know, I got real heavily involved, and I wasn't making as many meetings as I normally make. And so I had to increase my meetings for me instead of just going to meetings to talk. I had to increase my meetings for me. I had to do an inventory. I had to start hunting down my babies. I had to become a sponsor again, calling on the telephone. I had to go back to my basics all over again for me, making 12-step calls, all sorts of stuff like that. I've had to do that. And seeking alternatives to my lifestyle, drinking, using, marriage. You know, I've had to go. And again, I think I said it earlier, but I have some babies who became my sponsors this year, who helped me through the difficult time. They came and spent time with me. And they called me, and they loved me no matter what. And I did several women's retreats this year. And the retreats that I do in L.A., it's done where they don't even start till midnight. And we do the reverse. Instead of having it all day, we have it all night. And those retreats saved my ass. Because you're most vulnerable and you're most apt to be honest at midnight. It's something about being a late night talker. You don't have time enough or there's not enough daylight to cover the shit up. So it comes out real honest. And I've been able to get honest in some of those women's groups, and they're real confidential. Nothing is taken away from that meeting. We will not hear nobody else talk about whatever went down in that meeting in an outside meeting. That's how confident it is. You can only talk to whoever was there on the one-to-one basis. That's how we do that up there. You don't sign a contract, you make a vow. You know. And they were not judgmental of me. They didn't condemn me. They just loved and supported me. And I them, because the last one I had was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And we had 19 women from San Diego come down. 17 women from San Diego come down, and 3 from L.A.
So we had a panel of 20 women. And it was absolutely one of the most intense groups that I've ever been involved in. It was incredible. I'd just like to give you some statistics. This don't have anything to do with what we were talking about, but it just happened to be on my mind. Out of the 20 women, there was 14 incest victims. There were 6 women that their children had been molested. There was 1 woman that her daughter had been molested and liked it and told her that she was a better woman than her. I mean, this is all people who are recovered and who's dealing with staying sober. That's real heavy. For 20 women, you got that statistics there. And I took a real good look at those women. And there was something between us that we knew that you will not be able to find anywhere else in the world, because we had congenially bonded. And those were the kind of sessions. I've had 3 of them this year that I was the retreat master or the coordinator. Retreat master sounds weird to me, but I was the coordinator of, I saw the tears. I saw people let all the hair down and just be able to cry it out. The second night of the last retreat that I went on, at 6:30 in the morning, we had 10 women that was totally out of control. But it was wonderful. The reason they were out of control, because they had not cried that hard since they had been sober. And these were women that were 7 and 8 years sober. So it was such a release mechanism for them. You know, and I'm one of those women. I mean, I cried till I got tired. It was just incredible that they let me alone and they let me cry and they just let me be able to get that shit out. You know, and that's what women have done for me. That's the kind of involvement that I've had with women. That's what I call successful recovery. You know, I'm just about talked out, ladies. I really am. I mean, I don't know how I did it. And I'm amazed at myself that I've been able to do this. And I can never stress again how much this means to me, to allow me to do something like this. I just can't tell you, except just to say once again, I love you. Thank you very much. Thank you. This is amazing. Do you know at every one of these sessions y'all have stood up? This is incredible. I thank you. I just thank you. I'm real emotional. I really am right now. And I guess it's not over yet, is it? Thank you. In the morning.
In the morning.